today on Real Radio.
Jesus Christ, regardless of your view, he actually answers the very question you have in your mind. Will you live forever? Is there really an eternity? Jesus comes from the grave and says, yes, there is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Died, Part 2, continues in the book of Luke chapter 24 in verses 1 through 12, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a remarkable event, from the cross to an empty tomb. Jesus conquered death so that we might have life. The Apostle Paul, concerning the resurrection, was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to bring salvation for everyone who believes. And that power which raised Jesus from the dead, God will place in our lives. When God died on the cross through Jesus, he upset the power of the grave. Death can no longer keep us in the ground. Today, Pastor Jack asks the question, is there life after death? The Bible gives us a resounding yes, but we can't get to heaven by our own good works. It's only by the power of Jesus Christ and our faith in him that we're promised eternal life with him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 in your Bibles, and I'll read the first 12 verses. When God died, being the theme, today being Resurrection Sunday morning. Luke 24, verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. The spices would have been the traditional, we would say embalming fluid, but this would be put on the wrappings that covered the body. Very fragrant, actually, very beautiful. But they found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, garments of light, no doubt they're angels. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said, that is the two men appearing in garments, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Verse 8, I love verse 8. And they remembered his words. Wow. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, the great apostles. What's their response? Their words seemed to them to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. These are the great men of faith. Women, what are you talking about? Jesus is risen, and the 12, the great men of God, we don't believe that. Isn't that funny? Isn't that just like us? But I love verse 12, but Peter, God bless Peter. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling, wondering to himself at what had happened. What a remarkable event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, above all people in all of the world, we are gathered here today, and I don't know all of you today right here, but listen, Christians, the reason why we're Christians is not because we were born into a Christian home. That's not how you become a Christian. It's not that we were born in America. That's not how that happens. We're not Christians because we're of a certain group or status. We're Christians because Christianity is true. It is radical. It is something that can be put in the laboratory and tested. And it all hinges upon this profound fact. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Listen to this. We've been well counseled in life. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Why would you be told that? Because if somebody stole your basket, you're out of everything, right? If somebody sat on your basket, all your eggs would be crushed. You're out of eggs. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. We've also been told that if you invest, you should diversify. Because if you diversify, if this area goes down, you'll still have some money left over here. And you split things up. Why? Because it's all risky. Eggs in one basket, pretty risky. Everything that you own in one thing, pretty risky. But did you know that concerning Bible doctrine, and there are many, obviously, doctrines of the Bible, that there's one key doctrine that, as it were, God, who of course takes no risk because he's God, put all his eggs in one basket. And that basket is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're a skeptic. Maybe you're here today because your good friend has bribed you to come into church. They told you if you'd come, they'd buy you breakfast. And you don't believe any of this stuff. You think it's a bunch of mindless lunacy. Let me encourage you right now. You want to defeat Christianity? You want to prove all of us wrong? You want to change 2,000 years of history since Christ? And you want to change the Old Testament prophets? It's very simple. One topic. Just focus on one topic. Debunk the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you win and we lose. Prove that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And everyone that I've read throughout my time alive went out to disprove that and wound up becoming Christians. Our faith this morning is founded upon fact, and I want you to remember that. And the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest intellects that has ever lived, the famous Pharisee in Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when he wrote to the church at Rome concerning the resurrection, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That is the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Belief in the resurrection doesn't make it true. The resurrection's true. And if you believe in him, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, God will place in your life. And many of us can attest to that fact. God has changed our lives. So listen, if you're a note taker today, great. If not, listen carefully. As we present these arguments on Resurrection Sunday morning, we first of all look at the frustration that Jesus has caused the grave. When God died, he died on the cross to rise, and when he rose, he frustrated the grave. Jesus frustrated the grave. And we pick this up now from last Friday. The resurrection of Jesus Christ answers that question that's in everyone's heart and mind. And maybe it's a twofold question. Is there life after death? A general question. People wonder about that. Is there life to be lived? Is there something on the other side? We go to movies, we watch shows, we read books of a fantasy world or a presentation that causes us to think beyond all this, that there's things in the metaphysical world, and we wonder about that. There's songs sung about that. There's poems about it. God says it's true. God says that this world is fleeting. The Bible says that the length of time that you and I live in this world is but a vapor of smoke. Did you ever read that in the Bible? So for some of you who are young who are sitting here right now, it's like, when's the school you're ever going to get over? It takes forever when you're little, remember? All those things that we don't like take forever. And then when you're doing something fun, time seems to fly. Then all of a sudden, as you've lived your life and you've come to the end, the question arises, where did all the time go? It went by so fast. God has established eternity. And the fact that Jesus frustrated the grave, he rose again from the grave. In Jerusalem, there's an empty tomb. We'll talk more of that in a moment. But the other part of that thought is this, that Jesus Christ, regardless of your view, he actually answers the very question you have in your mind. Will you live forever? Is there really an eternity? Jesus comes from the grave and says, yes, there is. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, Acts 2, 24, "But God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death." Wouldn't you like to be freed from the agony of death? The word agony of death here means the grave. "Because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Think of the power of that. Jesus Christ frustrated the power of the grave because, as it were, we talked about this on Friday, death walked around Jesus at the moment of his death on the cross, and he yielded up his spirit, and he was laid in that tomb. Death surveyed the Son of God. As it walked around him, so to speak, because the Bible says that Satan had the control of death, it walked around him and couldn't find any area of it being able to grab onto him and hold on. like Teflon. It couldn't grab him, slippery. Death examined Jesus. Listen, death will examine all of us. And the Bible tells us that to believe in Jesus Christ is to pass from judgment to life. But the Bible also says for all those who reject Christ, they live in a Christless eternity without him. It's called hell in the Bible. Nobody needs to go there. Why would you ever want to go there when Jesus frustrated the grave? Secondly, we see when God died, he died to rise, and that resurrection of Jesus overcame the power of sin. Sin has power, and you know it does. A lot of people today are trying to explain away what the Bible calls sin. And they'll do some sort of psychoanalysis, and that's not really your guilt, that's something else. And no, the Bible says it's sin, and here's what sin is, and we've all sinned. Sin is the conviction, it is the awareness of the inside that we have somehow crossed the line, we've somehow done wrong. It could be in thought or in deed, but we've crossed that line. And the Bible says the reason why you and I feel bad about that is because the Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin. Did you know that? If you steal a cookie, you know it's wrong. How do you know it's wrong? The Bible says God is telling you it's wrong. Isn't it amazing? We can all attest to that fact. The book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, if you've not been offended yet, let me offend you right now. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Do you think you can be good enough to get to heaven? The Bible says, no, you can't. You can't be justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we who believe in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Listen to this. For by the works of the law, by doing good, no flesh shall be justified. Does that bother you? When you don't understand what Jesus was doing at the cross and what this morning represents, that should bother you, because God is announcing you'll never be good enough to get to heaven. You'll never make it. Did you know it was supposed to do that to you? You say, Pastor, I'm very offended at that. I told you you would be. Listen, if you could be good enough to get into heaven, then what in the world was Jesus doing on the cross? That's ridiculous. If you could make it there without him, then who are you? What are you? The Bible says all of us have been condemned, but Jesus came to set us free. That's why we celebrate this awesome morning. So we consider the fact that when Jesus rose, he overcame the power of sin. Thirdly, he died to rise, and in so doing, he's authoring eternal life. Jesus is the author of eternal life, says the Bible. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits, that is, the first one to be resurrected, never to die, of those who have fallen asleep. The word fallen asleep is always applied to believers, never non-believers. Because when a believer dies, it looks like they're sleeping. The believer is never mentioned in the Bible as being dead. We just move. Our body may be put at Forest Lawn or Rose Hills, but we're not there. My goodness, first service this morning, 6 a.m. this morning, a woman came up to me this morning and she was weeping. She says, I've come here to worship God. My father, she said, died in the night, this night. And she goes, I've come to worship the Lord. He moved. There will be a service later in the week for his body, but his awareness, his soul, his spirit is in heaven because he trusted Christ. That's what Jesus does. He's the author of eternal life. How is it that you can share the gospel and someone believes it? You say, yeah, Pastor, I have a hard time with that. This fairy tale stuff. Oh, listen, isn't eternal life exactly what you want, really? If you think about it, be honest with yourself. Do you love life? Of course you love life. If you could, would you like to live forever? It even gets better than that when you read the Bible, because I have to confess, I wouldn't actually want to live on earth forever. Would you want to hang around this place forever? I wouldn't. When you read about heaven and when you find out that it's perfect and that's where Jesus Christ is and that there's no tears, there's no crying, it's absolutely perfect there, you'd want to be there. Who would not want to be in heaven? Think of it. He's the author of eternal life, and God grants it, and the resurrection proves it. Number four, he died to rise, restoring hope to man. You need to hear this today, our fourth argument. Restoring hope to man. Number one, there's something called the misery index. A lot of you young people don't know about this. It's a long-term argument. I say argument, it's a presentation. It's something that we do within our American culture. And people are questioned about their life quality, their quality of life and perspective. Questions like this are asked on the misery index. Do you believe your children are going to have a better future than what you have? Did you know for the first time since the Great Depression, Americans are responding, no, I think I've had it the best. My kids' life will not be as good as mine. That is sad. Will your children experience the financial success that you've had or not? The answer now is no, they will not. The freedoms that you enjoyed, boy, a lot of us can already announce or record this one. The freedoms that you enjoyed growing up, will your children have the same freedoms? The answer to that is no. The misery index. Did you know that all around the world right now, the world is in fear? Let me encourage you. Jesus Christ came to restore hope into our lives. Think of it. There is no way that you can be intimidated with eternal truth. There's no way that you can be intimidated if you trust Jesus Christ. Because all of us can agree that we will not live here forever. We will enter eternity. And Jesus says, I want you to be with me in heaven. And I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die for your sins. And I'm going to be resurrected from the dead so I could have you in heaven. Wow. That, think of that. It is awesome news. The Bible tells us regarding that, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, because God's children are human beings made in flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Verse 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. As a Christian, you're not afraid of death. I have to be honest. I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of getting to the death part. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have needles in me. I don't want tubes. I don't want to suffer. Who wants to suffer? Who signs up for suffer? Nobody. But listen, here's the big deal. All this stuff passes. It passes. The bottom line is death itself. It takes away that question, where will I be? In eternity. And Jesus says, I want you to be with me. And that's why I went to the cross. By his blood, he bought the ticket for you to go to heaven. Which leads us to argument number 5. He keeps his promise. God keeps his promises. He never fails his promises. You want something certain? Grab onto the promises of God. And so true are these promises that it's a nice walk to go back 2,000 years ago and listen from a Jew who had heard the gospel and became a follower of Christ, the believer. He was previously known. He was a Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus. And when he gave his heart to Christ, you know him as Paul. And Paul wrote to the believers in Rome. And listen to what he said about God keeping his promises. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, for of the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has been born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness. Listen, how do you know? How do we know that all that Jesus said was true and the prophets were true and the Bible is true? One great doctrine. By the resurrection from the dead. Can someone just say amen? Just say it. From the resurrection of the dead. In a couple of weeks, 150 of us are going to get in an airplane. We're going to fly 15 hours. We're going to endure that. Then we're going to land in Tel Aviv. We're going to take an hour's bus ride up to Jerusalem. And we're going to go walk. We're going to go to a garden. Beautiful garden. And in that garden is a tomb. Archaeologists have done us a great favor and they unearthed this tomb. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified on a hill called Golgotha, or in the Latin or the Greek or Aramaic, Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull. Right now you're in Calvary Chapel. That's where you're sitting. What's with Calvary Chapel? Listen, the word Calvary means skull. That's kind of creepy, right? Jesus was crucified on the hill that looks like a skull. He died for our sins at the place of the skull. You're in Skull Chapel. This is Ari Maitai, Skull Chapel. Sounds like a pirate church. Skull Chapel. A stone's throw away from the place of the skull was a garden tomb unearthed. And we're all going to get out of the airplane. We're going to get out of the bus. We're going to stand in line. And we're going to wait. We're going to take our step. We're going to get our camera ready. And we're going to walk in there. And we're going to stand there and take pictures of absolutely nothing. It's completely empty. Only Christianity can boast this. Travel around the world to the founders of other religions and other worldviews and view their tomb, view their embalmed bodies. You can look at their bones or their dust, or you can stand near where they are enshrined. Why would you do that with your eternity? Why would you do that with your sin and your need for forgiveness and your everlasting life, either in heaven or hell? The Bible says we all live forever somewhere. Why would you risk that when you can visit the person who's still laying there? Does that make sense to you? It makes perfect sense to me. Why would I worship at the tomb of somebody who's still laying there? Oh no, give me an empty tomb. Give me an empty tomb. Well, Pastor, somebody stole the body. That's why. Hey, listen, really? So all these guys made it up. All the disciples made it up, and a whole lot of people after them. And for thousands and thousands of years, people have been dying for a lie. The apostles died for a lie. Don't you think anybody at the moment would say, wait, we're just joking? And people today, 2015, the bloodiest year in 2,000 years for Christians, 2015. Did you know that? By the way, 2016 is on target to surpass it. Martyrdom. For a lie? No, give me Jesus. Why? Because Jesus gives me an empty tomb. He rose from the dead. He keeps his promises. And we're grateful for that. Number six, he died to rise, making us his own. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead this morning in history, he made us his own. With all due respect, listen carefully. No doubt, it was awesome for him to have been born miraculously in Bethlehem. It was truly awesome that the prophets foretold his coming, his birth, his ministry, his life. No doubt, fantastic. The 3.5 years of his public ministry recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Great, awesome. The 4 books that will change the course of your life if you read it. All great. To die on the cross, noble. But all of it's academic, friends, if it wasn't Resurrection Sunday morning. All of it, tremendous. But if it wasn't for Resurrection Sunday morning, it'd hold no power. Jesus is risen from the dead, the tomb is empty, and Christ is alive. And because that's true, when you breathe your last, if you trust him, if you breathe your last in this world, you will breathe your next in the presence of God. Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us, the grave cannot hold us. Why? Because it couldn't hold him. He keeps his promises.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called When God Died. Thanks for listening today. And God's promises, they never fail. He set us free so we can live forever in heaven with him. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as you know, the content for Real Radio was preached from the pulpit by Pastor Jack. Quite frankly, because of time restraints, we simply can't get everything into the radio program that we would love for you to hear. So here's what you can do. Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can pick up the entire week of Easter messages, the entire Easter messages, as taught from the pulpit by Pastor Jack with no interruptions, no edits, no commercial interruptions at all. You can go listen to the entire thing. You won't miss a bit of the Easter message. Why don't you do that? reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get the messages on MP3 CD and listen to them. Make them a part of your life and share them with folks that you love. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.